Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Anchorman, David Baldorado, big news of the day. Hurricane Melissa, now making landfall in Cuba. Let's get the latest from CBS, starting with Michael George.
Hurricane Melissa has now weakened to a Category 3, but it's plowing full steam ahead into Cuba, where it just made its second landfall. The storm's outer bands already brought severe flooding to parts of Cuba, where hundreds of thousands of people have been evacuated from their homes. And we're getting a first look at some of the damage in Jamaica. Officials are calling it extensive. More than three quarters of the island is without power, buildings ripped apart, streets and homes flooded, and trees and power lines down. CBS's Jared Hill joins us now with the latest. Do we have any sense yet of how many lives have been lost?
We are in the early stages of assessing the damage here, but it is already being blamed for at least three deaths in Haiti, one in the Dominican Republic, and three in Jamaica. President Trump overnight said the U.S. is prepared to send humanitarian aid.
New images show the extent of the devastation in Jamaica after Hurricane Melissa, one of the strongest storms on record, slammed into the island on Tuesday.
Jamaica's gone through what I can call one of its worst periods.
Heavy storm surge left streets underwater, sustained winds up to 185 miles per hour, ripped off roofs, uprooted trees, and brought down power lines. Local officials say hundreds of thousands of people are without electricity.
Here is our home away from home.
American tourists Steve and Wendy Shirk hunkered down during the storm in a shelter at their resort in Ocho Rios.
The guests, they've been very cooperative. They've been very reassured. Mm-hmm. There's no panic.
It was peaceful in the shelter.
The storm being watched closely across the U.S., where the latest census shows more than a million people identify as Jamaican or Jamaican American.
I have my sisters, I have nephews, I have nieces in Kingston, Jamaica.
Texas restaurant owner Errol Biles has been working to get supplies to the island to help with the recovery.
I've partnered with a local nonprofit organization that is collecting canned foods, personal items, baby diapers, baby food.
Meanwhile, heavy rains and floods now batter Cuba, where thousands have already evacuated.
We're talking more than 700,000 people being evacuated in Cuba. Forecasters are warning of catastrophic damage with storm surge of up to 12 feet in some places.
And so, as we look at the track of the storm, it'll continue to move northeast, which takes it off the coast of the mainland of the United States. So as we get ready for November on Saturday and hurricane season ends at the end of the month of November, that's good news for people. But Aaron, have you seen some of the videos and some of the photographs? The airport in Jamaica, they showed a gate waiting area. and it was flooded, windows broken out, part of the roof gone, and it was literally raining inside the gate in the waiting area in Jamaica.
I cannot even imagine. I had a few discussions yesterday with a few people that, you know, were like, I'm not in an emotional state to talk about this yet on the air, or I haven't gotten in contact with my family there, but it's really just emotional to see the devastation. And I did. I've seen a few videos.
Yeah, we reached out. There is a contingent of people and some organized groups here from Jamaica that live in the Pittsburgh area.
Right.
And we'll expect to get some reaction from them. On a much brighter note, economically here, this Westinghouse deal, I know David Balorado reported on it yesterday, and we can touch on that with Rich Fitzgerald, who's coming in next hour for our weekly visit, about the impact this has to the region as becoming an energy hub and an economic boom in that field. So Westinghouse announced yesterday an $80 billion deal with our U.S. government to build nuclear reactors. And it's, quote, Energy Secretary Chris Wright says, this historic partnership with America's leading nuclear company will help unleash the fully energized America and win the global AI race. So the federal government is locked in with this region's drive to be a hub for artificial intelligence.
I say it all the time, and I will say it again. With us becoming the hub of AI and the NFL draft, I cannot wait to see what our region looks like post-draft toward the end of 2026, going into 2027. I mean, I think we're climbing.
Yeah, and what's important and what a lot of people will tell you and what I took away from even this panel discussion about the draft, that's only a one-off. And while it's great, it's bringing a lot of attention, but you need some staying power. And all of this energy investment and news gives you hope to, A, keep young people here, but attract people to the region, because we're going to need the workers, frankly.
Right.
And so it gives young people a real opportunity not to have to go.
Right, to build their life and, based on all the development, to live in the city if they want to. So, yeah, it's really exciting to think about.
So Westinghouse has already had, obviously, a global impact, but this is a big deal. They have a reactor. It's an AP1000 unit, they call it. And they have 14 more being constructed. There are 4 in operation globally. Another 5 are under contract. And now with this investment, it promises to be even bigger. So that's a very good bump. Afternoons with Colin Dunlap, brought to you by ServiceMaster of Greater Pittsburgh Demand, the yellow van. Speaking of going to court, you heard Texas is taking Tylenol to court over this whole, the link that they are claiming they didn't share with pregnant women and the potential link to autism, which has been disputed by many, many medical people, but it's going to go to court. So it's set up that, and it'll be interesting to see how that plays out, because that could be important information discovery in the process.
Right. Yeah, I mean, certainly there's a lot of people talking about that, and then you see people who want to be I don't know, social media influencers who decide they're just going to take handfuls of Tylenol. I've seen that some people have gone to the hospital as a result of that.
Now, that is just psychotic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other extreme.
Yeah.
There are always extremes. Do you shop this early for the holidays? David, I'm looking at you. I'm guessing no.
No.
You're a last minute five below guy, dollar guy.
Well, not that bad, but...
Aaron,
well,
are you already planning?
So
I have a reason to ask.
Yeah, I went to my niece's soccer game yesterday, and I realized I have 6 nieces and nephews, siblings, parents, in-laws, and so I am going to start early.
May I recommend as the family grows, you do the lottery draft at Thanksgiving. So you put all the family names and you get to draw one, and then you pick a
That's fun.
Gift amount total, and then you have a person.
Mm, that is actually really brilliant.
That way you can focus on one.
Oh, but I've got to be the grouch about that. Does that ever really work? Because remember doing that in grade school or Sunday school, and you know, it just never works.
David.
Well, what was the issue in grade school?
What happened in grade school? Talk about it.
Did you ever did you do that in grade school? In
I've
elementary
done that
school?
Before. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got a grab bag lottery.
Yeah.
For the holiday gift for whatever family member. I didn't do it in grade school.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember.
We used to do that in school. I think that's enough to teach
white
you that
elephant
that's a bad idea.
Is what they call it.
Yeah. All I remember is the nun saying, if you bring enough for everybody in the class, you can go ahead
gosh.
And get your candy.
Yeah.
Mr. Man. All right. A new report shows that the average American household plans to spend more than $1,000 this year on holiday gifts. This way, if you break it down where you only have to do one for the family,
you can buy one $1,000 gift.
No, not that much. So they say that's up from last year, but that doesn't necessarily mean we're buying more stuff. Experts just say it's because stuff costs more. So you're spending more and getting less for those holiday gifts. Just in case.
Yeah.
David, you're single.
Yeah.
Aren't you?
Yeah.
I don't mean to pry. Aaron, we know, is now 4 years in, so you're no longer a newlywed. We established that yesterday, Aaron.
Yes.
But there's a reason. David, there are pickup lines.
Oh, gee,
a writer in Australia spent weeks eavesdropping on singles bars and discovered that guys are more likely to flip through dating apps instead of saying something funny for fear of being rejected. That's why dating apps are so popular. Do you utilize those at all, David?
Not anymore. I did for a while, but you know,
came up with zeros.
Can I just say, I do think that a guy with a sense of humor, and David, your humor is hysterically dry. You have like dry humor. I think that a guy with a sense of humor goes, I tell this to Vinny all the time. If a guy can make a girl laugh, odds are pretty high.
That's a good sign on a first date.
Yeah.
All right. Here's one of the lines that this guy heard. He spent weeks in the single bars just writing down what he overheard. I seem to have lost my phone number. Can I have yours?
Mm.
Seemed pretty
Excuse
cheesy.
Me, but I think you've got my chair.
But at least, though, he said the biggest issue is men are afraid to approach a woman face-to-face again for the fear of rejection.
Yeah.
Women are kind of rude nowadays.
But I think the reliance on social media has made that even more of a problem these days because people just don't know how to communicate face-to-face in a lot of cases.
Right.
Well, that is a challenge with a lot of people because your head is buried in your phone.
Right.
Well, and it raises the expectations to kind of be not realistic sometimes, which that's what I mean when I say women can be rude, is their expectations aren't realistic. Then the poor guy doesn't even have a chance.
So mean to us. He's trying to get along. All right, Dr. Seuss died 35 years ago, but we're going to get a new book. A new posthumous book from Dr. Seuss. It's called Sing the 50 States. It will feature the Cat in the Hat. The manuscript was found earlier this year in the archives at a library in San Diego, along with notes for the illustrations. So this is truly new Dr. Seuss material. It'll be released just in time for America's 250th birthday. And the book released after his death was What Pet Should I Get? That was 10 years ago, so this is going to be 11 years after, and he's been gone for 35 years, but a brand new Dr. Seuss book.
Well, if he's writing a book about Sing the 50 States, there goes Puerto Rico's hopes.
Wow. We'll have to add a footnote. Joe, want to bring you up to date on the latest from Hurricane Melissa, and we go to David Schallenberger, meteorologist with our National Weather Service here in Pittsburgh. David, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Larry. How are you?
Good. So we saw as a Category 5, Melissa hit Jamaica. Now downgraded to a Category 3 as it makes landfall in Cuba, but still a very potent storm, right?
That is correct. They did see some winds do actually reach that 175 windfall speed. And then also in Jamaica, there was some reports of roughly between 6 and 8 inches. There could have been a few isolated areas that got in close to 8. So they certainly got their rainfall amounts. And Cuba actually is in the bullseye for, it looks like there's forecasting some isolated 16-inch amounts there for rainfall in that area.
And obviously that's devastating. And actually in Jamaica, they got less rain than they had anticipated. Mm-hmm. But still, we haven't had an opportunity to fully measure the damage done in Jamaica yet. But it started to move a little quicker. At one point, this storm as a Category 5 was only moving at 2 miles an hour.
Yeah, that can happen a lot of times when there's not a lot of the westerlies aren't very strong, obviously, down around the tropics. So sometimes you get in those areas where there's a shear free area and then plenty of heat and plenty of moisture in that area, and they just sit there and they just strengthen. Especially since the Gulf that we're dealing with, or that Caribbean area there that we're dealing with, usually shallower waters.
Now, that said, this is not going to directly impact the continental U.S.
No, it's not expected to impact the continental U.S. as it tracks off to the northeast. And as this hurricane gets caught up in the westerlies, winds right now on it are 115 miles per hour. It's about a weak or a low-end Cat 3. So it should start being shifted off to the northeast and slowly begin to weaken.
Anything behind it developing?
Looking at the maps, it looks like Melissa is the only one that they're tracking on. Now, if you want to get into what's going on in the Pacific, there is a weak tropical depression called, actually a tropical storm called Sonia. So,
well, while you're here, before you go, it looks like this week for us, we're going to transition into November. It is the weekend where we change the clocks. We actually gain an hour's sleep. So that part's good, but it's pretty seasonal, right? And a little rain on the way.
Yeah, actually, we do. We have a little bit of rain on the way coming in tonight, and it looks like we're going to be looking at kind of like a rain shadow area down in the southeast along the ridges, where they're only going to get less than an inch, but you go to the northwest, they could be looking at anywhere between an inch and a half to 2 inches in some places.
All right, appreciate the update, David. Thank you.
No problem. You have a good one.
Meteorologist David Schallenberger with the National Weather Service office here in Pittsburgh. Snap on the minds of many. 2 million people affected in the state of Pennsylvania. Day 29 of the federal government shutdown. Maybe some hope on the horizon. CBS's Michael George.
We are now in day 29 of the government shutdown. More than half of U.S. states are suing the Trump administration for its vow to stop SNAP food assistance this weekend. Vice President J.D. Vance says the White House has found a way to pay members of the military this Friday, while air traffic controllers missed their first paycheck. CBS's Torian Small reports from Washington.
Air traffic controllers faced a grim new reality on Tuesday. They missed their first full paycheck.
We received a partial paycheck about 2 weeks ago. Today we've received zero. It's just a lot of stress.
Union representatives passed out leaflets outside of LAX on Tuesday, urging an end to the shutdown. This comes as more than two dozen states announced plans to sue the Trump administration for cutting off SNAP benefits, formerly known as food stamps, this weekend. The Department of Agriculture said food benefits for 40 million Americans will cease on Saturday if the government doesn't reopen. Democratic lawmakers say the federal government has the money to continue to provide food assistance, but is opting not to.
What President Trump is doing on the hunger issue and on the nutrition issue is immoral. I am the ranking member on the Appropriations Committee, and I promise you that there is funding available to provide SNAP benefits beyond November 1st.
All of this comes as the Senate failed for a 13th time to advance a spending bill to reopen the government as Democrats hold out for extensions to health care subsidies.
Republicans maintain they will not discuss health care until after Democrats vote to reopen the government.
I spoke with the president last night. He's happy to sit down with the Democrats next week to talk about Obamacare. But you can't do that when the government is shut down.
Wednesday will mark four full weeks of a government shutdown. Torian Small, CBS News.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Washington.
And we continue to wait and wait for a budget in the state of Pennsylvania.
Hurricane Melissa moves away from Jamaica, losing strength but still wreaking havoc. Hurricane specialist Brad Reinhardt at the National Hurricane Center in Miami says Melissa is now Category 3.
There has been some weakening, and now that it's over land, we do anticipate that some additional weakening will occur. However, it is still forecast to be a strong hurricane as it moves across the Bahamas later today.
And as we just reiterated with the National Weather Service here, this storm will not impact directly on the lower 48, specifically Florida and the Carolinas, though surf may be high for a while.
AAA wants drivers to get an understanding of a simple concept, slow down and move over. Jim Garrity, their director of public affairs, says it's as simple as slowing down and moving over for anyone who's stopped on the side of the road.
No matter where you go, there is a move over law. But it's not just, you know, it's not just points on your license or a potential fine. Mm-hmm. It could be the difference between whether someone lives or dies.
And part of the problem, David, is not everybody's in tune with this. So you're in traffic, and I saw this where there was a man in a pickup truck, and he almost fell into traffic jumping off his truck, but yet people weren't moving over. And, you know, fortunately, it didn't happen. We have heard far too often over time where, you know, somebody gets hit even while assisting somebody else. This just happened over the weekend. But not everybody's in tune
right.
with this. So.
Right. And if you see the driver in front of you getting over, that's probably a good idea for you to do it too.
Right.
And you've heard a penny for your thoughts. Giant Eagle doesn't even want your thoughts. They just want your pennies.
Yeah, this is interesting because there has been a move by the federal government to stop manufacturing pennies. So if you have pennies, they're asking you more than a penny for your thoughts. They actually need them for people that still pay cash.
They'll give you the equivalent of 2 pennies for each one you turn in.
Right. And this is starting on Saturday, right?
Yeah, I believe it is just Saturday.
Yeah, it's a one day, and we'll have more details on that. But why not? How many people have jars of pennies that maybe have been sitting there for years.
Well, that's what, you know, years and years and years ago, Larry, I talked to Glenn Meekham about this, and you know, I just did a follow-up interview with him a couple of months ago, because he was saying this back then. That's the whole problem. Pennies don't, they cost more to manufacture, and no one actually uses them. They just hold on to them.
So, Johnny, you'll want your pennies. Yeah. Penny for your thoughts, and you'll get something for it. This is the Big K Morning Show, and every Wednesday in our 7 o'clock hour, we welcome Rich Fitzgerald, Executive Director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission. And Rich, each and every week, there's so much more to talk about that has a big impact on our region, as you well know firsthand.
There really is. And, you know, this Westinghouse announcement is just absolutely huge. Getting ready to have the airport ready to open up probably in the next couple of weeks that we've been waiting for, and yeah, a lot of good things going on.
Well, let's start with Westinghouse. This radio station originally coming up on November 2nd, 105 years ago, Westinghouse Electric, the engineering team, they created this radio station, and the link to Westinghouse has changed over the years, but we still have a direct connection to Westinghouse Nuclear.
We do. And you know, the George Westinghouse, you know, coming here and building out so much of industry, you know, back, like you said, 100 years ago. But this announcement with nuclear, because we really are a true energy capital of the world, with all the different ways in which we produce energy and distribute energy, have the technology to do it, but $80 billion to build out. You think about that kind of wealth that flows into the region and all of the jobs across the spectrum that are going to be needed to build that out, not just the engineers who design it, but the people who construct it, the people who assemble it, the parts, the financing people, et cetera, et cetera. It's almost like we read years ago how, you know, Pittsburgh would get these big contracts during the war to build out ships. Well, what would that do? That would put thousands of steel workers to work in building that. This is a similar type of thing in Next Generation.
And they had built that big campus in southern Butler County. It's still there, the buildings, and they still have a footprint there. Will this grow their presence in our region directly?
Most likely it'll grow there, but it'll also grow in other places as well. We know that they look like they're going to be doing the contract for the data center that's going to be the old Bruce Mansfield plant and shipping port in Beaver County.
Right.
They're talking about $10 to $15 billion. And again, you're starting to throw numbers around with a B. the first thing we had, I guess, about 10 years ago when the cracker plant was talking about $7 or $8 billion, that was the biggest project in the country at the time. And now we're doing it again and again. And you think about two of our legacy companies, Carnegie and Westinghouse, just recently, the Nippon Steel, where they're going to invest $12 to $14 billion into the Mon Valley in modernizing those plants. So we talk a lot about robotics and AI and life sciences, all the things that we're really, really good at. But our legacy industries also have a big presence still. Decades later in this region.
And it may surprise a lot of people after all these years that these are collectively coming together to really, in a real tangible way, make Pittsburgh that energy center.
That's exactly right. And the technology that continues to grow in this region, coming out of our great universities, particularly Carnegie Mellon and Pitt and some of the others, that research and development that was, you know, really our backbone decades ago continues to happen this day.
You recently went through at Pittsburgh International Airport kind of another test drill. So what was that like?
I was one of the 2,000 that went through the other day just as an anonymous. I didn't take any special. I got in line, went through the whole process. It went very smoothly. It was really impressive to see how you can park so much closer to your gate.
And additional 6,000 spaces.
An additional 6,000 spaces. Very easy. I think we got on level 4. And they also have, you know, red and green lights. So if the red light is up, that means that floor is already full, and go to the next floor on the parking garage. And you take the elevator down to 2. walk through the walkway into which we all know is ticketing, and then TSA. And the TSA part, all of it was very, very good. You were given a script where you were going to fly and how many bags you were going to have, all this type of thing. It was kind of random how that happened. And as you walk through a very well-lit and very inviting type of walkway through the airport, and the TSA stuff was so much easier. You didn't have to take off your shoes. You didn't have to take off your belt. And you didn't have to root through your bag to pull out your laptop. You could just leave that in the bag as you went through the screener.
And that said, in this new configuration, the outbound travelers will be on that second floor, and then the inbound travelers getting off in Pittsburgh will be on the first floor.
Yes, and that's what you replicated. And as you came back in, you went through the carousel and how you would get your bag. And again, most of us can remember now or go experience it even now, when you do check a bag and you wait for that bag, you often wait 20 to 30 minutes because it's got to travel that 8-mile run from, you know, where it gets off the airplane to where it comes to the carousel now. In the future being a couple weeks away, it's going to be so much closer. And again, the experience was so much nicer. I also finally got to see the tunnel experience that they've talked about, which is to replicate basically the Squirrel Hill tunnel that we experience or out-of-towners experience when they come and see Pittsburgh for the first time. And it was absolutely beautiful. And that was the one thing I saw people taking pictures of, as they saw that and they wanted to take a picture of that for their families.
Yeah, the Fort Pitt tunnel.
The Fort Pitt tunnel, exactly.
You said Squirrel Hill.
I'm sorry.
That's because you live there.
Exactly.
I get it. That's your favorite personal tunnel.
Freudian slip. Yes, the Fort Pitt tunnel, yes.
All right, coming up, we're going to talk about the county parks. Are we talking about Allegheny County or all?
Allegheny County Parks.
10 counties?
Including that one you like up in the north.
I grew up basically just outside of the entrance to North Park on the big pool side. And what a joy as a young person to ride your bike in the park. And that was before it was real popular for people to do what they do now, which is exercise and really enjoy our parks. And we'll find out what's going on and coming up next with Rich Fitzgerald on the Big K Morning Show. Big K Morning Show, Rich Fitzgerald with me in studio. He is the executive director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission, but in his previous role as Allegheny County Executive, one of the big things in our region that I personally love are our parks, the county parks.
We have a wonderful park system. And one of the things that the county did, even before I became County Executive, County Executive Honorado started something called the Parks Foundation. And that was an organization that was there to raise money and do projects that couldn't really fall under normal governmental budgeting. And the person who's now running that organization joins us now, Joey Lynn Ulrich. And Joey Lynn runs the Allegheny County Parks Foundation. And I'm really delighted to have her. They've done so many great projects that most of us probably, if not take for granted, just realize popped up. And I wanted her to talk about some of the projects and the economic impact and the great work that she has done. Joey Lynn, welcome. We're glad to have you.
Good morning, Larry. Good morning, Rich. Thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here and to talk about my favorite topic, the parks.
And the parks, I know, boy, they were a lifesaver during COVID because it seemed like at that point that was the only place people felt comfortable going to. Now, I live and have grown up near North Park. I always kid Rich, hey, where's our buffalo? We used to have them back in the day. But how many Allegheny County parks do we have?
So we have 9 Allegheny County parks, which, believe it or not, serve 23 million visits every year. They see 23 million visits every year to the parks. There's 12,000 acres of parkland. It's one of the largest park systems in the nation. And 30% of those visits come from outside of Allegheny County, which is something we learned when we completed the economic impact study this year. So we have it's a beautiful, beautiful assets that we have for our county residents and visitors that come into the county for, you know, the concert series in the summertime, family reunions, weddings, you name it. We have so many offerings in the county parks.
And one thing, Larry, people may not realize, within those 12,000 acres, we have over 200 miles of trails just within the park. So what Joey Lynn and her organization really do is they partner with the Parks Department and kind of do these special projects that kind of go above and beyond, again, what normal budgeting and as they put their budget together, they can't do. And one of the first projects they did was the loop around the lake, the 5-mile loop to make Ingomar Road safer, working with PennDOT and other projects that they do. And Joey Lynn, talk about the economic impact. You know, we all love the parks, but what's the bottom line as far as an economic impact? You mentioned 30% of those folks who use the parks, you know, don't live in Allegheny County. They come in to visit. What do they spend? What do they have as far as the economy goes?
Yeah, so those visitors that are coming in from outside of the county, they're spending about $8.4 million putting right back into the local economy. That's about an average of $60 per visitor that's coming in from outside of the county. And they're, you know, they're coming in for private events, public events, utilizing the recreational facilities, utilizing our trails. You know, Rich, you talked about the North Park Lake Trail. In South Park, we've got the Montour Connector Trail. We have the Waterfall Trail and Settler's Cabin. There are so many natural amenities that we have that people enjoy, our local residents are enjoying, as well as those visitors coming in. You know, Larry, you're in North Park. You can't go a weekend without seeing foot races happening that are drawing people from all over coming in to enjoy those amenities and enjoy those beautiful assets that our county is so fortunate to have. In addition, the economic, and in addition, one of the things that we've learned is that, the tree canopy that we have and the environmental impact was something we also studied through the economic impact study. And our parkland has over 9,000 acres of tree canopy. So our parks have 75% of tree canopy coverage. And, you know, what that's doing for the environment is helping with stormwater management. It's estimated at about $1.1 million per year in stormwater management. $1.7 million in carbon sequestration. So there's a lot of benefits for individuals and for our environment. Certainly, the beautiful meadows that we have, what that means for pollinators, that was one of our very first projects that came out of the environmental assessments that we do in our parks, the ecological assessment and action plans are something that we do. And the meadow at Boyce Park was one of the very first projects that we did that came out of these studies that really help us manage that forest in our parks.
And one of the things you've done that brought something back, the Cascades in South Park. It was something that people talked about back in the 50s and 60s. It got discontinued in the 70s and is such a beautiful, and we got foundation, you raised some foundation money, the Penguins Foundation and others came forward and helped put that together. And what a draw that has become for not just the old timers, but people that now have experienced it for the first time.
Yeah, that's right. The Cascades were, it was originally designed by Paul Reese. He was a landscape architect that was the very first parks director for Allegheny County. And it was an original feature that just, again, those historic features that the Allegheny County Parks Foundation in partnership with the county can identify and really bring back for people to enjoy. The Cascades are a beautiful area. There's an outdoor classroom that was built. It has ADA accessibility now for people to really enjoy those pools, those beautiful natural features of pools that you know once were used back in the 30s to cool people off, and now are an enjoyable feature that everyone can see and enjoy and experience again.
Well, appreciate the update, Joey Lynn. Thank you, and big fan of the park system. I think, obviously, a lot of other people are, too. It's a great treasure for Allegheny County.
Thanks, Joey Lynn, and keep those 23 million people happy. Thanks.
We will. Thanks so much.
All right, Joey Lynn Ulrich, who is the executive director, Allegheny County Parks Foundation. This is the Big K Morning Show. Welcome. And every Wednesday, 7 o'clock hour, Rich Fitzgerald in studio with me, Executive Director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission. 10 counties, City of Pittsburgh, one of those counties. They're all important, but just south of Allegheny County, Washington County.
Washington County, yes. And most of us do know way back, 15 years ago, when the shale revolution really started to hit Western Pennsylvania. Washington County was really the epicenter of where that happened. And joining us now is County Commissioner, Chairman of the County Commission in Washington County, Nick Sherman. And Nick has been very, very active. Commissioner Sherman's been active. And, you know, the data center operation that's really come about over the last year or so is everywhere. And Washington County has a unique one that they're working on right now. And the commissioner's been working on many, many things. And he joins us now. And welcome, Commissioner. We're glad to have you with us. And tell us about what's going on in Washington County.
Rich, thank you so much for having me, and good morning to you. Yeah, I wanted to just update a lot of people. We had some conversations about, you know, big things happening in Washington County. I think this comes on the heels of President Trump coming in with the U.S. senators and talking about the massive influx of money. You know, they talked about a $50 billion or more investment in the Southwest PA on data centers. Well, while you're looking at data centers, why did the world and people in the United States pick Southwest Pennsylvania? We love rolling hills. We love trees. We love pumpkin festivals this time of year. But it's our natural gas that we have here. So, you know, the two sites that we're talking about specifically, or I like to talk about this morning, are the CNX Zediker Station site. So for those of you in Pittsburgh and surrounding areas, 79 South, and when you go 70 East, when you get to more rural areas, in the outskirts of South Strabane, there is a 1,500-acre plot of land with about 400 acres usable that they are trying to do a data center on. So this is right now, as you know, we all compete with each other. The question is, who's going to have the biggest, greatest, fastest data center in Southwest Pennsylvania? And so as a county commissioner, what I'm trying to do is just make this as attractive as possible to all these outside entities coming in to showcase what we have in Washington County, to showcase the workforce that we have in Washington County. We're very proud of the labor that we have. But most importantly for these data centers, they produce or suck an immediate amount of energy. You know, you're talking about, you know, 500 to 700 megawatts of energy. Tremendous amount of energies, thousands and hundreds of thousands of mini computers running at one time. So why is that important to Southwest Pennsylvania? Well, when the engineers came...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Then they said they can't do this on the grid that we have right now. It will not support this much energy. So what are we going to use to run these massive data centers? And the answer is a microgrid. A microgrid, Rich, I know you know very well because you produced one. And a lot of people may not realize that when they're flying in and out of the Pittsburgh airport, that a lot of the energy that is used there is a microgrid that is produced by the natural gas that's under the airport. So what we're trying to do in very simple terms, if there's natural gas under the ground or if property's on a pipeline, they will get this natural gas. It will be piped into a generator. The generator is the microgrid. The generator is what we'll have there. It will produce, by burning natural gas, the energy that we'll have. It will produce all the energy for the data center, and that will happen behind the grid. So why is Washington County attractive? Because we have all the pipelines and because we have all the natural gas.
And the other thing that I think I did read about that Zephyr plant is that you're going to be trapping methane that's already being released into the atmosphere from old abandoned coal mines. So it will be have a more sustainable way of even doing it with whether it be carbon capture or methane capture than what we're learning about traditional data centers. So is that do I have that right? Did I read that right in the Business Times?
Yeah. So what we're doing here in Southwest Pennsylvania, tons of abandoned old coal mines. Some coal mines still in operation. Back in the forever when we did coal mines, we just blew off this natural gas that was produced, or this ethane and methane gases that came out. And what we're seeing now is the ability to do a carbon capture with those. Cap those. I mean, this is perfectly good gas going into it. And when you can burn it, you can produce more energy. So one, you're stopping the leak of these gases that are going into the atmosphere, which is good. I mean, we have to, if we're going to do this, we have to be good stewards of the environment. I mean, so when we're looking at these data centers that we're doing, the cleanest gas that we have, I'm sorry, the cleanest energy that we have right now that can run these data centers. We'd love to do it with solar. We'd love to do it with wind. It simply doesn't produce enough energy. So when we have the site like a Zetiker station, what we'd like to see is the generators that we're doing there, and then some solar, then some wind and everything else. But more importantly, or just as important, is to catch that gas to do that and use that for energy as well.
Well, I'm really impressed with what you're doing there.
I've had many meetings where they've explained carbon capture to me. I said, so basically what you're doing is the pipe that comes out of the ground from the old coal mines is still producing gas. You're just capturing that. And they're like, yes. I'm like, I felt like it was way over explained. So everyone listening, that's all we're doing is capturing the waste gas coming out of the ground and using it for new purposes.
Well, that's really impressive. Keep up the great work there in Washington County, Nick.
Yeah, you guys got a lot of good things going on, and we'll talk about some of those other developments in future conversations. Thank you, Commissioner.
Well, you're welcome, sir. You guys have a great day.
Thanks.
Nick Sherman, Washington County Commissioner.
Yeah, it's again, that really has become the epicenter back when Marcellus Shale was discovered, and they really leaned into it. And to hear not only going to be doing it, but doing it with some of the carbon capture and the environmental sustainability adds another layer of improvement to this operation.
Yeah, it kind of covers everything that people would hope for.
Exactly. We have these old mines that are releasing these methane and carbon, and we got to figure out how to deal with that.
Hurricane Melissa moves away from Jamaica, losing strength but still wreaking havoc.
Yeah, we have been fortunate this season so far. And Rich, that especially along the Florida coast and the Carolinas, always watching this time of year.
Yeah, you never know. And, we're winding down the seasonal sports programs of soccer and football and cross country and field hockey, they've had a great, great weather season to be able to do the scholastic sports that's so big in this region. And hopefully for the next week or two, as it winds down, we'll continue that way.
Yeah. And this storm is going to miss the continental U.S. too, but feel for the people, certainly in Jamaica and Cuba.
To hear that it went 185 mile an hour winds. Unbelievable.
Well, think of the damage we just had from the April 30th storm, because those were, 70 mile an hour winds,
right?
Maybe? Yeah.
Knocked out power in some cases for a week for some people here.
Yeah.
AAA wants drivers to get a better understanding of the slowdown move over law. Jim Garrity, the director of public affairs there, says it's as simple as slowing down and moving over for anyone stopped on the side of the road.
There has been some weakening, and now
no matter where you go, there is a move over law. But it's not just, you know, it's not just points on your license or a potential fine. Mm-hmm. It could be the difference between whether someone lives or dies.
Part of the problem is not everybody's in tune with that being the law. And I know we were traveling, we were in New York State in Syracuse, and I noticed they had signs pretty much everywhere on the state road saying about the pullover law.
Pull over and slow down. Those folks are really heroes that are out working and making our roads constructing, and you know, the accident folks who first responders, it's important.
And Giant Eagle says you can keep your thoughts, they just want your pennies.
I love this.
We went from talking about $80 billion from Westinghouse to pennies. So from one end to the other, here we are in Western Pennsylvania.
So on Saturday, Giant Eagles are going to exchange your pennies and give you a twofer, right, in
gift cards.
In gift cards. Yeah. So, Rich, how many people have jars of pennies? I don't know how this is going to go. We'll have to call CEO and President Bill Hartman after and see how it goes.
There will be people lined up. I have no doubt that most of us have do it, and our family have, you know, all over Western Pennsylvania, there's jars of pennies sitting somewhere that are getting ready to be emptied.
Well, you know what Ben Franklin said, a penny saved ain't much.
But you know what the funny thing is, because people have so many jars of old pennies sitting around, there might be something hidden there that might be worth more than 1 cent or 2 cents.
I was just talking to Rich about that. So I have four siblings. When my father passed, he must have told my older brother, I have these valuable pennies. We looked and looked. We didn't see anything.
Families are going to be pouring them out on the table and going through them with the magnifying glass to look for that valuable penny.
All right. Thank you, David. And speaking of pennies, you go from that to the story of $80 billion, the deal done with Westinghouse and the United States government to build more nuclear reactors. Big impact here.
It is, and it gives you another great sense of optimism to what's happening in this region and what the future really holds in the economy. And again, we being such technological advanced region with energy and robotics and AI and all the things coming about, for our young people, boy, there's a lot of opportunities that are going to be there for years to come.
On Friday, I was at a panel discussion, and they sent in from the National Football League. His name is Steve Fargo. He's the events coordinator. He does all their big projects, and it was fascinating to hear about how long a process it was to bring the draft here. And Dan Rooney was there, young Dan, who's really smart, and he's part of this process, and the other stakeholders. And you're part of this, too, with the region, with 10 counties. How often do people meet? They said there's meetings all the time about what's preparation-wise to come, what's needed to be done.
Constantly. And the planning, first of all, the planning to try to get the draft began, I don't know, 7-8 years ago to get this. And then when the announcement came down, then it kicks into another gear, working with the NFL, working with Visit Pittsburgh, working with, obviously, the Steelers and all the stakeholders that are involved, as you mentioned, the entire region. And the NFL's, you know, helping to get local businesses benefiting from this, and also are looking to find the great places in each county where people might want to go visit. We all know about Falling Water and some other places like that, but there are so many things here. The NFL's been very, very helpful in making this region benefit from this.
And I appreciate that they try to include some of the mom and pops and give, you know, people an opportunity to promote what they're doing here, and so they can take advantage of this economic opportunity.
Very much so, and they've committed that the contracts are going to go to companies that are located in the 10-county region. So it won't be out-of-town companies that will be swooping in to kind of take contracts away from some of our local vendors.
That said, I know that the airport will be ready to go, hopefully sooner than later, right?
We think sooner than later. Christina Cassotis indicated a week or so ago that we will be ready before Thanksgiving, and that will be so exciting. And again, anytime something is new, it's going to take all of us a little bit of time to get used to which door to go through, well, which line to go through.
Rich, you know.
Do you remember when the stadiums opened up? Where's my section?
Yeah. Where am I at?
Where's the bathroom? Where's the ticketing kiosk? Where do I get my luggage? It'll take a little bit of time. But
you know how we are. We'll figure it out, though. And I do appreciate that the new airport also is including a lot of the local businesses in the new footprint.
Very much so. And when in the old airport, old new airport, however you want to say it, it was a lot of national firms. And there will be some national firms, but you're going to have Permantes and Minio's and Sarah's Candies and Wiggle Whiskey and some of the local flavor that will be part of the quote-unquote new airport.
Rich, always illuminating. I'll see you next Wednesday.
We're ready to go next Wednesday. Have a good week.
Rich Fitzgerald, Executive Director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission. With Anchorman David Balderato, day 29 of the government shutdown. So many people being impacted. And the people that matter most in terms of front line are the men and women who serve, active duty in particular. And here's something that surprised me before the government shut down. One in four active duty military families experienced difficulties putting food on the table. So the ongoing situation has only made it worse. And while many service members received their October 15th paychecks, the next pay period, November 1st, Saturday, remains questionable with rippling effects. And joining us is Shannon Razadin, the CEO of Military Family Advisory Network. Shannon, welcome to KDK.
Thank you for having me this morning.
Let's go back to the statistic that one in four active duty military families before the shutdown experienced some level of food insecurity. That may shock a lot of people.
It does, and it's something that we found very surprising in our data, and the Pentagon's data reinforced that finding. So a lot of people don't realize that many military families are just living on this bubble of just getting by. And so something like the government shutdown and potential delay in pay is going to have severe consequences for a lot of families.
And as the CEO of Military Family Advisory Network, what is your mission on a daily basis before the shutdown?
Our mission is to make life better for military families. We do that through comprehensive research efforts and designing agile response based on what the research is telling us that military families need.
And as I understand it, about 1% of the population is in active service at any given time, yet the other 99% benefit. It seems kind of upside down to me from the get-go, but now what's the response going to be? Now that there is, in many cases, an emergency situation.
Military families are understandably nervous. And as an organization with a mission of improving the lives of military families, we couldn't stand by and just wait to see what would happen. And so we have launched emergency grocery support for military families. So far, we've deployed over 5,000 emergency meal kits that feed the family of four for a week. But we had over 50,000 military families apply for this support in the first 72 hours. And so we're counting on Americans who share our belief that military families should not struggle with this most basic need to really lean in and get involved.
So how can we help?
Yeah, so if your listeners could go to combatmilitaryhunger.org, again, that's combatmilitaryhunger.org. We're counting on Americans to join us in donating to this effort. We are standing by. We are ready to deploy more grocery support for families, and we just need the support from listeners and Americans who share this belief to get involved, too.
Now, we have heard rumblings that they're going to try to find a way to make sure that our military men and women get paid. What have you heard? Anything?
We've heard those rumblings too, but we're still waiting to see. And the reality is the military is taught to prepare and prepare for what could be the worst. And so that's the response that we saw from these 50,000 military families who applied for this support. And they're not sure. They're not sure what's going to happen. But also the Guard and Reserve community, they didn't get that mid-month pay. And so they're already falling behind. And so we're leaning in to do everything that we can to meet this moment. And we're hoping that as many people as possible will join us in this.
Well, it's a Herculean effort, and I certainly wish you well and support what you're trying to do. Shannon, thank you for taking time for us here in Pittsburgh.
Thank you so much for having me.
CombatMilitaryHunger.org, Shannon Razadin, CEO of Military Family Advisory Network. Yeah, really surprising to me. Prior to the shutdown, one in four active duty military families experiencing some level of food insecurity. That shouldn't be. And what about the SNAP benefits? 2 million Pennsylvanians are waiting to hear with the latest on these issues with the shutdown, CBS's Michael George.
Hurricane Melissa has now weakened to a Category 3, but it's plowing full steam.
Hang on, we'll get you the snap info.
We are now in day 29 of the government shutdown. More than half of U.S. states are suing the Trump administration for its vow to stop SNAP food assistance this weekend. Vice President J.D. Vance says the White House has found a way to pay members of the military this Friday, while air traffic controllers missed their first paycheck. CBS's Torian Small reports from Washington.
Air traffic controllers faced a grim new reality on Tuesday. They missed their first full paycheck.
We received a partial paycheck about 2 weeks ago. Today we've received zero. It's just a lot of stress.
Union representatives passed out leaflets outside of LAX on Tuesday, urging an end to the shutdown. This comes as more than two dozen states announced plans to sue the Trump administration for cutting off SNAP benefits, formerly known as food stamps, this weekend. The Department of Agriculture said food benefits for 40 million Americans will cease on Saturday if the government doesn't reopen. Democratic lawmakers say the federal government has the money to continue to provide food assistance, but is opting not to.
What President Trump is doing on the hunger issue and on the nutrition issue is immoral. I am the ranking member on the Appropriations Committee, and I promise you that there is funding available to provide SNAP benefits beyond November 1st.
All of this comes as the Senate failed for 13th time to advance a spending bill to reopen the government as Democrats hold out for extensions to health care subsidies. Republicans maintain they will not discuss health care until after Democrats vote to reopen the government.
I spoke with the president last night. He's happy to sit down with the Democrats next week to talk about Obamacare. But you can't do that when the government is shut down.
Wednesday will mark four full weeks of a government shutdown. Torian Small, CBS News, Washington.
And many people continue to wait. To Myra Rush from our newsroom in studio. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
What is trending, T?
Penny.
Pennies.
Pennies.
Penny for
you. You remember
thoughts.
This song?
Oh, yeah.
So here's a penny for your thoughts.
Whoa. Remember that song?
I yeah. do. I don't remember the artist, though, but I remember
the
song.
Tara's? I wrote
it's
it.
Tavares.
Tavares.
Oh, look at David.
Okay.
David coming
David,
on strong.
David, who told you to jump in this conversation? Stay in the back.
Oh,
no, that's right.
That
no, I wrote it in there, but I didn't know how to pronounce it. Is it you said Tavares.
Tavares.
I remember that. They're old school.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that song.
They had a lot of hits on the Saturday Night Live soundtrack.
Oh, well, here we go.
Which was 1976.
I mean, Saturday Night Fever. I said Saturday Night Live, but yes.
76.
77.
You want to go?
No, we already went.
But Jai Nagel is offering double value gift cards in exchange for pennies this weekend. That is awesome.
So you're
I'm
saying
going.
If I bring 100 pennies.
You can only bring, you can't bring, the minimum is 50.
Minimum.
The minimum is 50. The maximum is 100. So that means you'll get a $200 gift card, which is.
Now wait a minute. $100 or 100
100
pennies?
Come on.
Well, if you said 100 pennies.
100 pennies.
You'll get a $2, right?
Wait. Yeah. Wait.
Yes, David.
They'll give you up to $100. If you bring in up to $100, that's right.
$100.
Yeah. Yeah. But a minimum of 50 cents because they don't want people coming in with 3 cents and saying,
yes.
Oh, give me a gift card for 6 cents.
Okay. So if I have 1,000 pennies is the max, is what you're saying, because that's $100.
I've got to do the math on my head, but yes, I guess that's right.
Yes.
Well, a 100 right. pennies makes a dollar.
Right.
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 For $100, then that's 1,000 pennies.
For example, if you take $10 worth of pennies to Giant Eagle, you'll receive a $20 gift card.
Thank you.
That's what we were all trying to say. We were trying to get there.
I got you.
But I'm going. I have a ton of pennies. I have one of those water jugs Those old school water jugs. Remember, Larry?
I do.
The big water jugs, and used to put pennies in those. I have one of those. So I'm going to take out and distribute.
And this is Saturday at any Giant Eagle.
From 11 to 4 on Saturday. It is.
They're going to be swamped.
I'm going to distribute.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Tribute them to people who I know that, you know, need some assistance for Thanksgiving.
Very nice.
I'm nice sometimes. Not all the time.
Oh.
I'm telling them now, you owe me.
I'm not saying.
I'm going to tell them, now you know you owe me. That's what I'm going to tell them. So, you know, take this gift card, you owe me.
No, you got to give without expecting anything in return.
Oh, I'm not that nice. You work with me for a very long time.
That's a
you
qualifier. Know I'm not that.
Well, yeah, but then you go to Halloween candy is crazy. They say because of the cocoa.
Right. I noticed chocolate prices have skyrocketed.
Listen.
Because of the cocoa.
Oh, yeah.
Loco
cocoa. Loco cocoa. So I don't know if people's really giving out candy. Are you giving out candy, Larry?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, you
bite
got
size.
It. You got it. You can get the candy for the kids. You make a lot of money, so you can hand it out for the kids.
Oh, is that right?
I'm just saying, there's some people, a box of, you know, those regular boxes of chips, the little snack bags of chips, like $25.
Why would you give out bags of chips? Because they get crushed in the candy bag.
But because maybe I don't want the kids to eat all the candy.
Why don't you give out toast?
Oh my God. What is the craziest thing you received during Halloween when you were a kid? Do you remember?
We were told, you know, don't eat apples because
they had razor blades in them. And I was like, okay.
I never heard of one ever. But yeah. Stuff like fresh fruit. No, just make it candy.
Yeah.
Don't be cute.
People used to give out, the stickers that you would use.
My brother
stickers.
Was a dentist. He gave out toothbrushes.
Toothbrushes. That was horrible. That was painful. Somebody could throw it away on the way. Come walking back home. Throw it away. Colin said yesterday, someone in his neighborhood or where he grew up, I believe, gave out rosary beads. I remember that.
Well, not everybody is aligned with just doing Halloween. They got to make it some religious thing too.
Yeah.
Well, because it's Hallows Eve, you know, and then the next day is All Saints Day.
Right. Right. So there's nothing wrong with that. But I mean, toothbrushes and all of those things. It was like, why do you get pennies in your bags.
Well, so this Friday, you can give bags of pennies, and then they can go to Giant Eagle and double their money.
Listen! See what happens when you're trending? Listen, that is a great idea. Get them in the rolls. I'm wondering if you have to have them in rolls, or maybe you can just take them and put them in their
machine. Well, they got a machine now that counts them.
But it may make it go faster for people if they have them already rolled, right? Wouldn't you think?
Yeah.
So you could drop in some pennies in their.
Put 100 pennies in a little sandwich bag.
Yes.
And then say, here, this is $2.
Yeah, hey, you
but
never
you got to have at least.
But that means you could take it to Giant Eagle and the kids can get something, whatever they want. You know what I mean? I think it's good. What say you?
I'm in. Anything else?
It's redding season.
Oh, go ahead.
Redding season with the deer, so be careful. With daylight savings and everything is.
It's the rut, they call it.
It's the redding season.
The male and female deer are.
They doing their thing.
Be careful out there. It's a nightmare. I saw a buck this morning.
They may be off their game because of.
Had a gold chain on. Thank you, T.
You're welcome.
It's trending. It's deer mating season.
People are driving.
It seems like no matter who you talk to, the talk is about money. Budgets. No budget. Budget impasse. Shutdown of our federal government. The state of Pennsylvania still arguing 101 plus days without a budget, Aaron. Do you have a budget at home? You and your husband, Vinny? Do you have
sure
a household
do.
Budget?
Yeah. I think budgets are good. We need them.
Yeah, if people could stick to them.
That's right.
The problem. And for the city of Pittsburgh, that's a big deal. And the controller for the city, Rachel Heisler, released last week some projections for the city. For instance, could spend nearly $20 million more this year on overtime and holiday wages than it planned for. So how do you deal with that? We appreciate City Councilman Bob Charlin joining us, who represents in part the South Side. Bob, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. How are you doing?
I'm good. So people understand, even in city government, there are three branches, if you will. You have the mayor's office, you have city council, and then you have the controller's office. So as one of the council men, in this case, what's your reaction?
Yeah, I mean, this is not something new to any of us at city council. I want to thank Controller Heisler. She has been a phenomenal partner for us, kind of keeping an eye on where we are in the budget. You know, as you know, and I'm sure most of your listeners know, the mayor produces a preliminary kind of draft of the budget. Then ultimately council is the body that has the authority to approve the budget. And then it really becomes the mayor's authority to spend the budget. So through the year of 2025, you know, and while the mayor is spending the money, the controller keeps tabs on it. We're seeing that the spending plan that the council approved and the mayor signed off on, last December, that the overtime specifically continues to be something that the administration is spending more than what was allotted. That's largely in public safety, but it's also in our public works departments. And just looking at where we are, like you said, at probably the least rosy projection, we're looking close to $20 million in overtime overages. Realistically, knowing that you don't spend as much overtime in certain times of the year as you do in others. We're probably a little bit less than that, but we're definitely going to be above 16 million, 17 million, probably somewhere in that range, coming by the end of the year here.
It obviously is and sounds like a lot of money, but compared to the overall budget, I understand percentage wise, it's not as high as people, would think it would be. And part of the problem, obviously, is having a challenge to attract new police officers in the case for that department. So you have to go to overtime in many cases just to cover the basics. Is that correct?
Yeah. I mean, and it might not seem like it's that much, but keep in mind that we're already dipping into our rainy day account. So, when the city was getting out of state oversight and out of the conservatorship that we were in, we built up a pretty decent reserve. This budget, and we continue to be looking to spend down that reserve, which is just not a way to run the municipal corporation. We need to be building that money up, making sure that we have that. We actually grow interest on the money that we have in reserve. And instead, we're spending that down. It looks, as we're projected, and tough to say exactly how this will work, but we would be out of that reserve by 2030, which, would be devastating for the city. So that $20 million isn't, it isn't a huge percentage of our budget. But also keep in mind that $20 million is what we should be investing in our vehicle fleet, which is our other major liability here in the city, that we don't have the trucks to do the work. We don't have the ambulance is breaking down. We don't have, the appropriate apparatus on fire trucks. Our snowplow fleet is depleted to a point that we need to be renting vehicles. So, we really can't downplay what percentage of overtime we're looking at here. And to your other point, yes, we absolutely do need to be recruiting more officers. And I do commend the folks at Public Safety and the folks that work in the police department that have been, we believe we're going to be putting on our largest police class, seeing more officers come, but we're also seeing more officers leave. And when you think about what that means for the draft and what that means for just general public safety events next year, we need to see more and more officers and more and more aggressive recruitment tactics to make sure we keep officers in the city of Pittsburgh.
Well, what's interesting is all this is going on. Mayor Ganey will be out of office at the end of the year. You'll have a new mayor. Odds on it will be Corey O'Connor based on historical projections. And it's interesting that he will inherit the issues of the city like Ed Ganey did from Bill Peduto. In the meantime, city council is there. So I appreciate the update. How's the south side, by the way? Things settling down? You got that under control?
Well, we're working on it. I don't think we'll ever do a mission accomplished in Southside. We're continuing to work at it. We've got a couple new businesses that we're able to open up over the last couple weeks, and a couple more projected in the future here. That really is going to be the thing that helps us. We have a phenomenal business district manager in Susan Anderson, who is continuing to attract more businesses. We just had an expansion of Sushi Tomo on East Carson Street, which we're all very excited about. There's this new place called Vinegar Syndrome that opened up, which is showing kind of cult classic B-rate movies from the past that they just had a ribbon cutting. They're attracting a whole bunch of additional foot traffic and new customers to the district here. So it's an exciting time to be representing the South Side. Again, we know that public safety is a crucial step of this stool here that we need to be continuing to work on. Our Southside Entertainment Patrol continues to, be very vigilant and works really hard throughout the entertainment times of the weekend. But we're excited and we're pretty bullish about what the future of Southside looks like. But to say that it's something we've accomplished or anything, I don't think that we'll get to that day. It's something that we'll constantly need to be working at here.
Bob, appreciate the time this morning. Thank you.
Thank you, Larry.
Good luck. Pittsburgh City Councilman Bob Charlin representing the South Side. From the P.J. Fitzpatrick Home Improvement Traffic Center, powered by Bowser Genesis in Monroeville, here's Eyes on you, Ellen.
Yes, we're trying anyway. There's a lot to keep track of for the Wednesday morning commute. Lots of delays. Southbound Route 8, for example, trying to make your way to 28 is clogged most of the way between Saxonburg Boulevard and Katanning Street as you try to get down to 28 proper. That is slow in the Aetna Bypass and then again down by the 31st Street Bridge. Lots of heavy traffic on the North Shore Expressway right now between the West End Bridge and the Fort Duquesne Bridge and then passing the Fort Duquesne Bridge merge point over toward 28 and 279. Parkway West inbound is heavy in both directions at the top of Green Tree Hill. And then again on the outbound ride headed toward the airport in the western suburbs, you have clogged up traffic with that stepping on the brakes happening through the I-79 interchange. Parkway East on the inbound commute has delays for you at Wilkinsburg. Our next AAA traffic on the fives at 8:55. I'm Ellen Gamble on 100.1 FM and AM 1020 KDKA.
And AccuWeather says increasing cloudiness. A little rain expected this afternoon. Coming up from the southwest, 55 the high, 44 tonight, so not quite as cold. Periods of rain, and that's because we got a little flow from the warmer section of the country, but it's not going to get much above the 50s tomorrow, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Highs projected all 4 days at 53 degrees. 38, the airport now. Very, very big night for one of my colleagues here at Odyssey Pittsburgh. We have five great radio stations. The latest Marconi winner is KDK-FM, better known as 93.7 The Fan. Afternoon host is Andrew Filippone along with Chris Muller. They call him the PM Team. Andrew is known around the country and now around the world based on a little wager he made or statement prior to the Steelers-Cincinnati game. We have to dial back 10 days. Plus now, Andrew, good morning.
Hi, Larry.
How you feeling? How you feeling, partner?
I feel pretty good, actually. It hasn't hit me what I'm going to go through tonight or endure. But I'm sure when I see everybody there tonight and see the extremely talented person who we've contacted and secured to do the actual thing that will cause me great pain tonight. At that point, it'll probably put me into a full-fledged panic mode as well. So everything's peachy right now, but this is the calm before the storm, Larry.
All right. For those that don't know, Andrew, just prior to the Steelers-Bengals game, you were so confident the Steelers would win, you proposed what?
Well, I was running my mouth on Twitter like I often do, and I said that if the Steelers if the Steelers lost to the Bengals, I would get my nipples pierced. Now, I have made similar crazy statements, something to that effect before with other games, but my predictions were right, and I never had to pay them off. For example, Larry, on New Year's Eve of last year, I said that if Penn State lost to Boise State, I would get a Brazilian butt lift. yes.
I missed that one.
Yeah, I did too. I think I was celebrating New Year's Eve or the New Year too much where I kind of forgot and blacked out that I had posted that. But thankfully, James Franklin came through that night for me and Penn State won, so I didn't have to go through with that procedure. But because the Steelers blew it, I have to do this tonight at 7:30 at Mike's Beer Bar.
All right, there was one caveat you left out, and you said you would do this without numbing agents.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, that's an important detail.
It is.
It is. I've learned a lot about this procedure, procedure might not even be the right word. But I've learned a lot about the piercing experience over the last few days, and apparently numbing agents are uncommon in these scenarios to begin with, which surprised me. So I guess that's standard operating procedure when it comes to piercing that area of the body to not be numbed in advance.
That would be a surprise to many. They seem to be a sensitive place for everybody. That said, you full disclosure, you have no other piercings, correct?
No. Well, that's a lie. I have my ears pierced. I did that when I was in high school. That didn't really hurt at all. But I've asked around, as you would expect, and people have told me that there's a huge difference between the two. So I'm in for it tonight, Larry.
Now, you have decided and to your credit, to do this, you're taking the pain literally for breast cancer awareness, and you're raising money. So the tickets are $33, as I understand it, $1 for each point the Bengals scored on the Steelers that day.
Yeah, yep. And you get a lot with that, Larry. You get the opportunity to watch me embarrass myself, which is, I think, pretty priceless. I don't think you can put a value on that, a price tag on that. You also will get food tonight, compliments of Mike. You will get a commemorative T-shirt, which is really funny. Our promotions team put together something. There's also all kinds of really cool raffles that are going to be a part of this. And I'd like to say that our mutual friend, Jay Caulfield, called me yesterday and said Mario Lemieux found out about this and wanted to lend a helping hand. So there's going to be a Mario item at tonight's event. And you can hear my daughter in the background getting she's excited.
Yeah, to have Mario Lemieux donate something for this. That's fantastic.
Yeah, so it'll be really cool. It starts at 6. It goes till 8. And I'm just impressed by the sheer number of people that want to see this in person and be a part of it.
Well, Andrew Filippone, congratulations on all your success. That's a great line that Andrew uses on his show, but you had the longest article ever written.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette sports page on a Sunday, and Noah Hiles, who used to work here at the plant, as you know, did a wonderful job kind of documenting your life coming here from Syracuse, and you've been here since the beginning of the Fan, and look at you now.
Yeah, and I told Noah when he approached me about this, I said, you know, do whatever you want with this article. You know, it doesn't have to, I don't want it to be a promotion piece or a fluff piece. You know, dig into everything and anything you want in terms of people to talk to. I'll be as accommodating as possible. I'll answer the questions that you have as directly and honestly as I possibly can. And so the thing I liked about it is he, you know, told my life story and also a lot of things about my process creatively and things like that. And allowed for people to draw their own conclusion about me, which is really the whole point of this business. Like, I don't need everybody to listen to the show who loves me. People can disagree with me and strongly disagree with me and hate me on a number of things. And as long as they're listening, I'm cool with that. So he, I think, got that word out and message out pretty accurately in that article. And I was happy with it. Like you said, I don't know if I can really frame it because I think it would take up an entire room in my house. So...
It was actually incredible. I mean, there have been athletes that spent their career here, didn't get them much ink. So
I know.
That's pretty cool.
That's not lost on me.
Think You're about right. this. I used to work with Myron Cope back in the day, and Myron had a similar push-pull, you know, but they all listened. People would say, I don't want to hear what Myron has to say. Did you hear what he said last night? And then, so you have that dynamic, and you've been extraordinarily successful. And a Marconi winner, they can never take that away from you, no matter how many parts you get pierced in the future.
And I can't wait for my day with the Marconi, just like they do with the Stanley Cup. I got to figure out what I'm going to do for my 24 hours with that prestigious award, Larry. Maybe I can get a tip or two from you since you had the same experience.
Well, I would take, if I'm you now, I would take it to Mario's pool. That's what they did with the first cup. So
yeah, but I think it got damaged, and I don't feel like our big boss would appreciate that very much based on what I know about his idiosyncrasies as a person.
Well, I'll let you go, but if you don't mind, we just want to check in real quick tomorrow and see how it goes.
Absolutely. Sounds good to me, Larry. Great to talk to you again, man.
All right. Thank good you. Luck tonight.
Yep. Appreciate it.
Andrew Filippone from 93.7 The Fan. And this event again tonight, Mike's Beer Bar, right across from PNC Park on the North Shore there. 6 to 8, $33. All the money goes to breast cancer awareness. Good luck. The Drive at 5, top stories driving the day's news. Weekday afternoons with Colin Dunlap, brought to you by ServiceMaster of Greater Pittsburgh. Demand the yellow van. And if you want to reach out to us, the NASCO Roofing Instant Access, just a click away. Instant Access at KDKRadio.com. So, Aaron, you had mentioned there's always a Pittsburgh connection. That's kind of my mantra, right? You're a half person from everybody in Pittsburgh. So we look up last hour, and guess who we see on CBS Morning Show? Paul Skeens.
Of course.
Pitching phenom for your Pittsburgh Pirates. And even though we're in the midst of the World Series, deadlocked at two games apiece between the Los Angeles Dodgers and Toronto Blue Jays, they wanted to talk to Paul.
Our ace, Paul Skeens. And Paul just happens to be here with us on set. Welcome.
Hey. Congratulations.
Congratulations. What's amazing about you is you're so young and so new to the league. You spent just a couple months in the minors. In both years, you've already been an all-star. And now your peers are saying you're the best pitcher in the National League. How does that feel?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it's just being voted on it by your peers is pretty darn cool. So it's an honor. Great to be here. Great to have the accolade.
When you have the lowest ERA in the majors, as you did this past year, no one was better at preventing the other team from scoring runs than you. What do you even work on in the offseason? Like, are you just trying to maintain? Are you trying to improve?
Yeah, definitely trying to improve. I think when you try to, I don't know very many people that go into the offseason like, yeah, I just want to be the same guy I was last year. So. I don't know. I don't know exactly what it is yet, but
what are you throw like 111 out. Or something? Really. Like, what are the areas of improvement for you? How do you even think about that?
I'm not sure. We're looking into it right now. Okay. You know, that's the beautiful thing about all the data and analytics. We can run models and stuff like that to figure out scenarios where we could get better. So we're doing some of that now.
I played wide receiver. The reason I never played quarterback is because I didn't like the pressure. Some would call it performance anxiety. I was a decent basketball player, all-state in high school. Hated being on the free throw line. Once again, performance anxiety. When I look at pitchers on the mound, it blows me away that in a moment where any hit can change the complexion of the game, you have thousands of people watching, millions at home. How in the world do you center yourself in that moment?
That's a great question.
And not let it overwhelm you? I get nervous just watching from my couch. And I know it's different for each guy.
That's a great question.
But how do you do it?
Yeah, I think for me, I've just done it my whole life. And so it's, with nobody watching, with millions of people watching, it's the same game. And so we're on an island out there. We're, just throwing pitches and
literally
doing all that by ourselves. And we got seven people behind us to field the balls. But, it just comes down to, executing the pitch, I think.
Mm. So, Paul, the MLB Players Association put together a little video for you. Here's what they had to say.
That's no surprise. You know what he's been able to do in his career so far, 2 years into it, is nothing short of impressive.
Pretty special. He's going to have a very good career.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the best in the game.
a pitcher of that caliber, the way he goes about it.
So elite, not just in his pitching, but in his approach to the game. You see him working hours and hours every day. He wants to be all-time great. Mm.
How does it feel to hear those things?
Yeah, it's pretty cool, especially from those folks in particular. You know, Brent, Tarek, Aaron Nola, DeGrom. I've looked up to DeGrom, you know, for a while, so it's pretty cool.
You've credited your girlfriend, former LSU gymnast Libby Dunn, for helping you stay present in all of this. I would think maybe she would take your mind into other areas, you know, but you say it keeps you centered. I guess she knows something about being in the center of attention as a gymnast. Talk to me about this connection, one athlete to another, you have with her.
Yeah, it's just something, you know, we both know what it's like to, you know, for lack of a better term, be in the arena, you know, the man in the arena, that kind of thing. And so, you know, we can talk to each other about that. It's pretty nice. So she understands what, you know, what the life is like. I understand what she, you know, does. And so I think it works pretty well.
Yeah, they're pretty much, Aaron, the hot couple in sports. So Paul Skeens, that was last hour, recognized by the National League Outstanding Pitcher, the Player's Choice Award, and Baseball Digest's MLB Pitcher of the Year. So just announced.
Well, and they tell him he's so chill, and he got a little more excited being on TV with them, but he was still very chill, which just goes to show that is just truly who he is.
And that would explain, at least in part, how he's able to do what he does.
So, right, exactly.
In spite of the Pirates struggling, he is risen to the top, and that's not an easy thing to do, especially when there are so many other good players.
Right.
But they picked him. So hats off to Paul Skeens. Every Wednesday at this time, we check in with Christine Sorensen, KDK TV anchorwoman, and of course, the wife of our own Marty Griffin. And Marty will be here in a few minutes. We'll check in with Marty. Good morning, Christine.
Good morning.
Kidsburg, as we get ready for one of the biggest kid holidays of the year with Halloween.
Oh my gosh.
We get right into the weekend and it falls on a Friday, which is good for many.
Yes, it is. There's so many fun things going on this weekend for Halloween. And, you know, even though it is a Friday, there's still some Halloween-related things going on this weekend, including the Pumpkin Smash at the Cayman Science Center. That's from 10 to 2. So bring your pumpkin. You get $5 off. And you can drop it off the portico 16 feet high, watch it crash and smash and blow into pieces. And if you don't have one, that's okay too. You can watch them blow up some pumpkins at 10, noon, and 2. They've got liquid nitrogen. They're going to be exploding pumpkins. So all kind of fun things. Kids are encouraged to wear their costumes. Hey, everyone's encouraged to wear their costumes, kids or adults. Enjoy it one last time on Saturday. Also Saturday, there's a really cool hip-hop art camp at the August Wilson Center downtown. That's from 11 to 1. They're going to be talking about hip-hop both in graffiti as well, using storytelling and individual voice. So you want to sign up for that if you can. And then for the younger kids, there's the Fiddlesticks Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra session. These are specifically geared toward young kids, and it's such a fun way to introduce them to classical music. And they're going to be celebrating all kind of holidays, including Halloween, Day of the Dead, Diwali, Thanksgiving, all of those in one. So that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, the Fiddlesticks is a perfect way because I think when you experience, and you know this yourself, the symphony in person, it makes all the difference in the world. And you never know which child will be really encouraged, touched, or just enjoy it.
Absolutely. So true. And, you know, I didn't really grow up with a lot of classical music, so it wasn't something I was very comfortable with. But then once you go in person, especially when you bring your kids, hey, it's a great introduction for adults who don't know classical music as well. I find that those kind of introductory type of programs really make it much more accessible and enjoyable for people who maybe haven't experienced that before.
Highly recommend it.
Yeah.
Heinz Hall is a great venue for that.
I want to mention two other things going on. One, there's this really cool program happening tomorrow night. It is free. It's a 60-minute workshop for parents on rethinking digital parenting. So we're talking about kids with screens, kids of all ages. But what's unique about this is that this is put on by young people ages 15 to 25. So there's a group called Rethink Citizens, and it's young people, and they're hosting this workshop. It's, like I said, it's online Thursday, 7:30, and it's totally free. And they're going to talk about what young people are experiencing from young people themselves. I mean, they grew up digital natives. It's a very different understanding of screens and iPads and phones and computers.
Yeah, they're the ones that know what's going on.
Right. We need to be listening to them.
Right.
And then they're going to also talk about some of the digital harms and challenges that kids are facing, and then give parents some strategies on what to do. So I'm excited about that. I'm signed up for that.
Have you seen, and I'm sure you have, maybe with your own kids, with iPads and their ability to navigate through the iPad or the phone at really young ages?
Oh, it's unbelievable how intuitive it becomes,
right?
Especially at a young age.
That's a great way to frame
yeah.
it. Intuitive.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy. And then one more story I just want to bring people's attention to on kidsburg.org, because our real goal is to help provide resources for families. And there is this unbelievable resource that's been in our community for 171 years. It's Glade Run Lutheran Services. And they started back in 1854, actually as the Orphans Home and Farm School up in Zelianope. And now they have 11 locations, but they've got some really neat programming involving animals and horticulture. So, for example, they have this equine assisted lessons, as well as nature-based lessons for people who are on the autism spectrum and for people who have experienced trauma. And they have all different kinds, whether it's adults or kids with their parents. They've got summer camp programs. They've got individual therapy, group therapy. It could be walking the nature trails and using that to help sort through anxiety. It could be sequencing skills in their garden, where you learn about building communication and managing impulsivity. It's horse therapy, where you're actually riding the horses. So there's some really cool things going on there, and it's really making a difference in people's lives.
There is something magical that happens with especially young people and horses. There's, I don't know what it is,
yeah,
but with kids on the autism spectrum and even PTSD with veterans, I know there are some programs. So you can find all of this information at kidsburg.org. And Christine, you're going to stick around with Marty?
I'm here. Yeah, I'll be on with Marty from 10 to 11.
All right. kidsburg.org. Thank you, Christine.
Thanks.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life.
Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.